2nd of December, Rabbi Matthew Lawrence giving publicity to mitzvahs.
Good morning. The title of the shiur, giving publicity to mitzvahs, the Gabbai's plaque, a slightly cryptic title.
Mm-hmm.
So as we go through the different makoros that we're going to talk about, we'll see why I've given it that title. Giving publicity to one's mitzvah. We're not talking over here about doing mitzvahs in an ostentatious way in public. I'm not talking about that. The subject which I'm talking about is, if a person does a mitzvah, a person gives an adobah to a Beis HaKnesses, to a Beis HaMedrash, is one allowed to be mufarsim, to publicize the fact that you were the person who actually did it? Are you allowed to write, presented by, etc.? Are you allowed to put up a plaque in the shul, in the moisture, saying that it was you that gave the money, that donated the money? Is there any element of perhaps gaiva in that? Or should someone try and conceal the mitzvahs that they do, rather than publicizing it to the whole world? And the interesting thing is, there's not very many makoros in the Gemara and in the poskim about it, but there are a few fundamental ones, and that's what we're going to go through today. We're going to start with a tshuva, one tshuva from the time of the Rishonim, from the Rashba, and then we'll move on to another tshuva from the time of the Achronim, a tshuva known as from the Emunas Shmuel, who was a Rav in Krakow. The first tshuva which we're going to go through is the tshuva to Rashba. By the way, you might see a connection to yesterday's parsha and the Hanukkah as well along the way. The tshuva to Rashba in tshuva to Rashba, Chedek Aleph, Tov Kuf Pei Aleph. There was a certain gentleman who lived right next door to a shul. In fact, it was a kind of a semi-detached situation, that his house was right next to the shul and actually shared a wall with the shul itself. And he decided that the shul was lacking seats, there wasn't so much space in the shul. He wanted to help increase the size of the shul. What did he want to do? He wanted to knock through the wall, the shared wall, and merge his house with the shul itself. He'd recently refurbished his house and made it very nice and painted and made it look very nice. And he thought he would do the tzibur a big tova by knocking through and merging the actual house with the shul. And then there'll be a lot more seats in the shul. Okay. The tzibur didn't want him to do that. They didn't want that at all. Why? What was their taina? So the way the Rashba puts it is because they thought that some of the seats there in the shul would lose their importance. They would lose their intrinsic chashiva. Now, why should some of the seats in the shul lose their chashiva just because he wanted to knock through the Mizrach wall? So the Nodi Mehudu explains that the situation was as follows. It wasn't that he wanted to knock through the entire wall and thereby merge the whole shul with the whole length of the house. In fact, his house didn't actually parallel the whole of the wall. The house paralleled the Aron HaKodesh, and part on the right and part on the left. That's where his house paralleled on the other side. What he wanted to do was knock through a bit of the wall there, a bit of the wall there, and then some of the house which was behind the Aron HaKodesh and to the side would be an extension to the shul. So what would happen? The Mizrach wall would not be extended entirely. Only some of the seats over here would be we would gain a few seats over there and a few seats on that side. Yeah? The rest would remain the same. So the people who originally had been sitting at Mizrach, let's say right at the end over there, and right at the end over there, would no longer be sitting at Mizrach. Because part of the Mizrach wall would have been extended forward. That would be the end of the shul. And those people would be sitting in a place which is no longer Mizrach. And the other people who would gain the new seats at the front, they would get the Mizrach. And therefore the shul objected against it. That's how the Nodi Behuda explains the actual case over there. And by the way, the Nodi Behuda proves from there that one is allowed to build a shul that has more than four corners. One shouldn't think you're going to build a shul which is four corners, like a rectangle or a square, because in this situation, when you knock through like that, the shul would now have more than four corners, actually have six corners. And therefore you can build a hexagonal shul or an octagonal shul. He proves from there, that was the shayla that the Nodi Behuda was asking, he proves it from this tshuva. That's on the side, that's agav. So anyway, the tzibur was objecting against extending the shul in this way. So what happened? They came to an agreement that if he wanted, rather than extending the shul in that area, he could make that bit which he wanted to add to the shul, the Aron HaKodesh. In other words, rather than extending in a way that there would be more seats in that area, but that would lead to the problem of the new seats at Mizrach and deprive the original people who had the Mizrach seats. What he could do is that extension now behind the shul could now become a very large Aron HaKodesh. That's what the shul was masking to. They agreed to that. That was fine. However, the man said, "Well, right, okay, but as I am contributing, I'm donating my house towards the Aron HaKodesh. That's going to be the Aron HaKodesh. I would like to have an inscription on the Aron HaKodesh," which was really a room, more than an Aron HaKodesh, "saying that it's mine, I donated it, I presented it to the shul." And the shul didn't want that either. They want Ma'akim, they didn't want that. They didn't want him to say that was his. So they came to the Rashba, with it in Torah, and they asked the Rashba, "What's the halacha? What should we do?" So the Rashba said that a number of points. Firstly, he said, he doesn't see any problem in the man insisting that an inscription is put up, a plaque is put up with his name on it, saying that he presented it to the shul. In fact, says the Rashba, since it was his, room, there's nothing to stop anybody putting an inscription on that which is theirs. If it wasn't for him donating that area to the shul would not have it. So, in actual fact, it's actually his. It really belongs to him. And a person can do what they want, as long as you don't harm other people. But really, you can do what you want on your own property, on your own possession. And therefore, that was the first reason why the Rashba said he was allowed to put his name on there to say that he donated this to the shul, to the Gehillah. That was the first point the Rashba said. Then the Rashba went a stage further, and he said, this is accepted minhag in Kehillahs. We've always seen people present sidurim, they present chumashim, they present things to a shul, and they write, presented by Pliny, then Pliny, Zeicha Nishmas, whatever it is, that's an accepted minhag in our Kehillahs, and therefore, that's another reason why we can allow it. Why? Why do we do it? Because we want to give people incentives to perform mitzvahs. If everything is always concealed, then people don't always have a motivation or an incentive to actually perform mitzvah. People are human beings, and they like to get recognition for things that they deserve. And therefore, says the Rashba, it's a midas chachomim even to provide incentive for people to do who are doing mitzvahs to continue in the future to do those mitzvahs. And then the Rashba went a stage further, and the Rashba said, "I'll bring you some makoros in the Torah where we find this. Where do we find that the Torah publicizes mitzvahs that people did?" So the first example the Rashba brings is yesterday's parsha. Yesterday's parsha with Yosef and Reuven. The brothers decided that they were going to kill Yosef and put him in a boil afterwards. Along came Reuven, and Reuven said, "No, we won't kill him, we'll just put him in the boil and see what happens after that. But we don't want to have to pick up Solomon directly on our hands, so we'll put him in the boil and leave a Kodesh Baruch Hu to take care of it, whatever meant to be is meant to be. But we won't be Shoytech Solomon." And the Torah says over there, "Vayishma Reuven." Reuven heard what the brothers wanted to do. "Vayatileu mi'adam," and he saved him from their hands. "Vayomer lo nakenu nafesh." We won't kill. Let's not be goyim shvichas domim. So says the Rashba, the Torah has chosen there to be mafasim to publicize what Reuven was doing. Reuven was doing a very big mitzvah. So the Pasha is possibly the greatest mitzvah. And the Torah would mafasim it. The Torah didn't have to say it, but the Torah did. So we see one place in the Torah where the Torah took a person's mitzvah and publicized it to the whole world in order for him to receive due credit for what he's done. Then the Rashba carries on and brings a medrash in Ruth, where it talks about Boaz, and Boaz gave some food to Ruth, and the medrash says, there, referring to the story of Reuven with and Yosef just now, and referring to the story of Ruth, that had Reuven have known that the Torah would be mefasim what he did, had Reuven have known that the Torah would publicize his act, he would have gone even further. Not only would he have saved Yosef in this almost indirect fashion, but he would have gone and picked up Yosef and taken him to Yaakov Avinu. So what's the Torah say? What's the Medrash saying? That if a person knows that something good that they do is going to be publicized afterwards, it imbues a person with a certain motivation and enthusiasm to go and do that mitzvah in a better way, in a more shlemistic way. And similarly with Ruth as well, with Boaz and Ruth. The Medrash says that had Boaz known that the Nach would be mafazim what he did to give a small amount of food, literally a small amount of food to Ruth, That would have been mafasimit even more, and it would and would be mafasimit. And what would he have done? What would he have done if he was to know that the nach was going to be mafasimit? He would actually come out and he would have given her a whole suddah, a golet mafutomai suddah, a whole suddah of calves, a whole exquisite banquet. He would have done that. Why? In order to improve the nature of the mitzvah, because of the enthusiasm that he's going to put into it. And the Rashi brings a third right. The Torah says that Aaron and Kohen came out to meet Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Medrash says that had he known that the Torah would publicize the fact that he was coming out to meet Moshe Rabbeinu and to show him some recognition of honor, he would have come out with musical accompaniment, with a whole fanfare. The same thing, the same motivation would have been caused there for Aaron and Kohen. And therefore we see three examples, he quotes one or two others as well in the Rashba, where the Torah is mafarsim, and had they known the Torah would publicize it, they would have done the mitzvah with even greater shameless. So therefore, says the Rashba, this is what the Torah wants from us. What wants from us? What's the purpose? Niftach deles loisei mitzvah, says the Rashba. To open the door for people who are doing mitzvahs. It provides encouragement and motivation for people to do it. And therefore, says the Rashba, if that is what the Torah does, that's what the Derech HaTorah, in the words of the Rashba himself, if that's the Derech HaTorah, we have to emulate that. So that's what the Torah is teaching us a message by doing that. We have to emulate that ourselves. And therefore, if someone is doing a mitzvah, he's making a donation to a shul or presentation, there is nothing wrong, and in fact it's a positive thing to actually be mufasim that, to encourage him and other people to do mitzvahs in the future. And by the way, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch paskins like this Rashba. The Ramah says that it's permitted for a person to give something, a donation to a shul or something like that, to have their name written on it in a plaque, an inscription, in order to encourage them. So that's the Tshuva HaRashba, who paskins like that. Let's jump forward now, a few hundred years, not so long, to the time of the Emuna Shmuel, of Am Shmuel Kaidenover, who was the Av Beis Din of Krakow, who wrote the Torah on the Mashal, many other Torahim as well. And he had an interesting case. By the way, the case wasn't actually brought to him originally, it was brought to another Dayan, and the Dayan didn't know how to paskin it, so he sent it to the Emuna Shmuel, who was the God Lador in their place, and this was a shy, this was the case that happened. And that's the title of the Shia, the Gabbai's Pack. Reuven, a person called Reuven, was the Gabbai's stocker of the shul. And as one of his duties as a Gabbai in the shul, he took upon himself to organize that the shul should be replastered and repainted. So they would say he was coordinating the refurbishment of the shul. But in a way, to put in the postscript, he was organizing the plastering and the painting. So he went about his job, he collected money from the people in the Kehillah, got the painter to come, do all the work. The painter did a very nice job, and everything was fine. However, at the end, the painter decided, of his own accord, to put up an inscription or a plaque saying that all of this work was done under the instruction of Reuven ben Yitzchok, Tony, this Reuven, this Gabbai Stocker. The painter put this up of his own accord. Zois naaseh bebekudas Reuven ben Yitzchok the Gabbai Stocker. He thought he was doing a favor. Very nice of him. Had a good relationship with him. He put it up there. Okay, no one batted an eyelid, and at least a year went by. No problems at all. Everyone was happy with that. One day, some people from the shul came along, and they said, "No, we don't want this anymore. We don't want this plaque up here saying that this work was done under the instruction, carried out under the instruction of Reuven ben Yitzchok." And they wanted him to erase this inscription, and they took him to the Beis Din with two different timers, two claims. What were the two claims? So firstly, they said that if this were not to be taken down, and this would remain up on the wall, then over the course of time, people would come to think that it was this Reuven who actually built the shul, and or his Yoshim, and his Yoshim would claim that it was their shul, and that would lead to perhaps problems in the future. They would lay claim to the shul, to the building, they would say it's theirs, they would want to control the place and run the place. So the people in the shul were worried that if there was this inscription on the wall, Zois Naseb of the Kudos Reuven ben Yitzchok, that would ultimately lead to the family, or Reuven himself, laying claim to the shul in the future. What was the second taina? They said that despite what might happen in the future, in the present, it's wrong, it's false, because it gives the impression that Reuven himself contributed financially to the building of this shul, as though he was the financial backer, he was the one who donated the money. That's what the average person will think when they walk in the shul and they see this was all done, coordinated and organized by Reuven Ben Yitzchok. And they felt that was a sheker. It wasn't actually representing the actual truth. And it wasn't fair for him to have something up there which seemed to claim that he was the one who contributed, and he didn't. And, said the Kehillah, even though they hadn't objected originally, a year had gone by, they said it doesn't matter, because you can't have a chazaka on something which is belonging to the Kehillah. Everybody contributed either partly or equally to the donations towards the cost of refurbishing the shul, and although they didn't object against it, you can't get a chazaka on something which is b'shutfa. The person goes onto somebody's land and the owner doesn't object, so we know the halachas of chazaka, everyone learns it, halachas of chazaka in a certain period of time, you gain a chazaka on the land itself. But that's an individual thing. When something is in the shutfa of the kehillah, a person can't get a chazaka, even though the owner didn't object against it. So those were the two times that they came to the Beis Din with against Reuven. They wanted him to erase this plaque or erase the inscription of Reuven. By the way, by the time he came to the Din Torah, he was no longer the Gabbai of the shul anymore. I'm not surprised. Seems to be though, they seem to elect a new Gabbai every year, and his turn had already passed. So obviously Reuven was very upset by this, and he took his Din Torah to the Beis Din, and he came with a big case, 8 reasons why he was entitled to have his name up there on this plaque. 8 reasons. So we'll go through the Kitzur, the reasons that he said. Firstly, he said that he was Toireya. He was Yogeya. He put effort into organizing. He went round to the people of the shul. He collected the money. He put it all together. He organized the painter. He was Toireya. He exerted effort in this mitzvah. And therefore, there's a medrash which says that when Klal Yisrael were creating the Kalim for the Mishkan, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu was written on every item, on every one of the Kalim in the Mishkan. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu was written on it. Who donated the money for the Kalim? Klal Yisrael. Everybody, all the Yidden donated money. And yet still Moshe Rabbeinu had the zechus that his name, because he organized the whole thing, he had the zechus that his name could be written on the Kalim. So that said Reuven over here, here's one proof that I'm entitled to have my name written on that which I organized. I organized, okay, I didn't contribute myself more than anybody else, but I'm entitled because of that medrash in order to have my name on it. That was the first time. The second time he said that the new Gaboy who took over after him at the end of his year should have objected against it. Since they didn't, he therefore had a chazaka, and it's a chazaka sheishim otayna. Those learned from Vassar and Avancestus, Chazok Yish Sheishim Otaina, since he had a Taina, a valid claim to it, because of the previous medrash and other things we're going to quote in a minute, he had a valid claim to it, and he had a Chazoka, the fact that he had done it, or it had been done, and nobody had objected against it, that was another reason why he should be able to keep it. He then brought this Chuvas HaRashba that we quoted at the beginning of the Shir. What do we see in the Rashba over there? The Rashba quoted a number of examples. For example, Reuven and Aaron HaKohen. Did Reuven contribute anything to the Hatzolah of Yosef? Did he go and hire a band of people to go and save Yosef? Did he pay money to go and save? No, he went to the boy. He took Yosef out, and he went to the boy, and he said simply that we shouldn't kill Yosef. We should put him in the boy instead. But he wasn't. Doing anything more than being Torah. He didn't contribute money towards it. He didn't give too much of himself. He just made an Eitzah. He made a suggestion that we should not kill Yosef and do it in this way. So said, not that Reuven, Reuven in our case, I got the same thing as one. I didn't contribute, I didn't give of myself so much. However, I organized it. And therefore, I have the right to have my name there. Because the Torah is my first thing, Reuven in the Torah, as we saw from the Chuvas HaRashba. Then brought another medrash. There's a medrash Tanchum which says, the pasuk says, "Vayas b'tzalel et ha'oroi." Tzalel made the oroi. On that pasuk over there, the medrash says that we find that many times the Torah keeps saying, "Vayas b'tzalel, vayas b'tzalel." B'tzalel did, b'tzalel made. But did b'tzalel make everything? No. There were other people who helped b'tzalel. B'tzalel coordinated. Moshe Rabbeinu was on top, and then there was b'tzalel underneath, and he coordinated the actual artisans themselves. And he didn't make everything himself. And yet the Torah says, "Vayas b'tzalel." It was b'tzalel who did it. So he said another proof. But even if you don't give of yourself, or don't do something specific to yourself, but you organize it, there's another reason why you're allowed to, you're still allowed to have your name written on it. Tell them a fasting, the talal as well. As to the Kehillah's objection, what about the Kehillah's objection? That the people would come over the course of time to say that Reuben was the one who built this shul. He said no, because what does it say on this slide? It says Reuben Gabbai Tzedakah. Everyone knows a Gabbai Tzedakah doesn't necessarily contribute the money himself. He's the one who collects it from everyone else. And therefore, it was Mukach, it was there behedja, clearly in front of everybody, that he wasn't trying to claim that he had contributed himself. He was only trying to get recognition for the fact that he had organized it. He then claimed that their arguments regarding Chazakah were contradictory, which is at this point. What were they claiming? They were claiming that if they didn't object now, they were claiming that over the course of time he would come to get a chazaka on it. What would happen? People would say that it's his, and he would get a chazaka on it. On the other hand, they were claiming that something which was of the shutvus of the kehillah, you can't get a chazaka on. So he said that either you can get a chazaka or you can't get a chazaka. You can't argue both. And the final two points that he actually said, well, firstly, why do I have to remove the entire inscription? Why can't I just add a few words onto it, saying that this was done under the instruction of Reuben ben Yitzchok, as it says, who collected money from the Kehillah. Add those few words to it, who collected money from the Kehillah, and then I've got the right, completely, without any objection to it, to have my name on there. And the last point that he mentioned was simply that they were doing it to cause him aggravation and embarrassment. They didn't really have any talents at all. They just wanted to annoy him, and therefore it wasn't really fair what they were doing to him. Those are the eight reasons that he came to the Beis Din with. You would think that with eight reasons, he would actually win the case. But he didn't. So the Emunah Shmuel said that it's a quite fairly short tshuva. But he says that we don't find many Mekoros about this whole union in the Gemara, in the Poskim. We only find this Rashba based on the Medrashim. And he says that the Rashba is a Chiddush, and whenever you have a Chiddush, Ein Boi El HaChiddush HaBavad, you can't go further than the Chiddush itself. And the cases that were involved, the Raya, the proofs that the Rashba actually brought over there, at least those people, Reuben, Aaron, the Tzalal, they were actively involved in doing the mitzvahs themselves. They weren't just organizers. They weren't just people who were coordinating other people to do something. They were involved. Reuben was involved himself. He did the thing itself. The Hatzolah of Yosef, he did himself. Aaron came out to greet Moshe Rabbeinu. That was a mitzvah. He did it himself. Bayat was giving to Ruth. He did it of himself. But in the case when a person doesn't do it of themselves, they just make everybody else do it, that's not called enough being involved in the mitzvah. And therefore, although the Rashba had proofs that you do deserve credit and you can be mafalsim, as the Torah did in those cases, in this particular case, he couldn't have the right to it because he'd only involved others in it, but hadn't necessarily involved himself in the mitzvah itself. Sorry?
So take a packet of paint,
right,
for 2 hours, and that's it. He started the job as well.
I mean now?
Yeah.
Because, it had been done already, it was too late.
Okay. Well, the time as well then. Let's say
the
time when it's
paid. Okay, maybe, yeah. Maybe, that's in the future that they said would happen. But here, it has to be done on the case which was in front of them. The second point that he made, in the Shmuel made, what was the underlying rationale of the Rashba? The Rashba said that why do we allow this? Why do we allow people to take the credit for this and have their name up there? It's because there should be an incentive to get people to go and do mitzvah. In this case, being a gabbai, this would not necessarily be an incentive to become a gabbai. This was just one of the duties of the gabbai, what he was in charge of doing. But people wouldn't refrain from becoming a gabbai of a shul, because they knew that if they organized the refurbishment of the shul, then they wouldn't get their name up on the plaque. It wouldn't be a reason to stop people from doing that. And therefore, since the Rashba gave a reason for his ruling, for his psak, in this case, the ruling wasn't, that reason wasn't actually applicable, and therefore, he didn't have a claim based on that Rashba. Therefore, said the Emunah Shmuel, if the Kehillah wanted to remove it, they actually had the right to do it. It doesn't sound so fair to us what's exactly the distinction, but that's how he passed it. So the Kitzur, the Emunah Shmuel was saying that firstly he wasn't involved, Reuben wasn't so much involved himself, he wasn't contributing, he wasn't giving of himself, Whereas in the case of the Rashbah brought over there, the person had donated his room, his house, to the actual shul. He gave of his house, he gave of himself to the shul. That was completely different, and completely different to all the proof that the Rashbah was quoting. However, it's far from clear that this distinction that the Emun Shmuel is making over here is held on by everybody. If you look at the Torah Tamima on that pasuk in yesterday's parsha with Reuben, so Torah Tamima asks a question. He says, there's another medrash which the Rashba could have brought, and it's a bit strange why the Rashba didn't bring. What's that medrash? So the medrash said, the medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, where it talks about the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Who was the one who built the Beit HaMikdash? Shlomo HaMelech. He actually built the Beit HaMikdash itself. Says the medrash, but because David HaMelech was noisei nashoi on the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, he was the one who gave of himself, he put Mesirat Nefesh into it, although Shlomo was the one who actually carried it out physically, because David HaMelech was noisei nashoi alav, that's why David HaMelech in the Pesukim is given the credit for the Binyan Beit HaMikdash. As we say, Miz Moshiach, Chanukah Habayis, the David. Chanukah Habayis of the Beit HaMikdash, the David. Why is it the David? It should be the Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech built it. So why is it the David? So we see we give a person credit. Who did we give it to? The person who was Mois and Nefesh on it. The person who was Mois and Nefesh in it. So says the Torah Tamima, ask the Torah Tamima, why was this Medrash not quoted by the Rashba? The Medrash, everybody knows it all. If the Rashba knew the other Medrash, I mean, he knew this Medrash as well. So why doesn't the Rashba quote it? So says the Torah Tamima, because the Rashba is really trying to bring a proof that Stam Oisei Mitzvah, everybody who does a Mitzvah, has the right for some kind of publicity. This medrash would not have been approved. Why? Because David HaMelech was nice and nafshay olav. What about people who do mitzvah stam without being nice and nafshay olav? Says the Torah Tamima. Where do we know that from? So that, says the Torah Tamima, we couldn't bring this medrash. We had to bring the other sources, the Rashba source, the ones the Rashba did bring. So he's obviously learning, the Torah Tamima is learning, that those makoros that the Rashba brought were not so much a person putting too much effort into it themselves. He learned that's not there were not cases of Noisim Nafshay Olav. The case with David HaMelech was Noisim Nafshay Olav. We couldn't bring a proof from there to stamp Oisim Mitzvah. And therefore, according to the Torah Tamima, it would come out that the Rashba's riot, Rashba's proofs, are even for a case of a person who doesn't make a mitzvah without being Noisim Nafshay Olav, without being Noisim Nefesh to it. So that is not like what the Emunah Shmuel is saying. The Emunah Shmuel was saying that only if you're Noisim Nafshay on something do you deserve this right. So Torah Tamima clearly saying from the Rashba, we can prove more than that. Even a regular Oisei Mitzvah. And the Ramah who brings this halacha, who brings this Rashba, is talking about people who do mitzvahs. He doesn't say about Noisim Nashra, Noisim Nefesh, or anything like that. The Ramah says anyone who does a mitzvah is entitled to write his name on it to get that publicity. So the Torah Tamima also seemingly doesn't agree with Emunah Shmuel. There is another tshuva, an interesting tshuva, that we find in the tshuva of Mari Asad from Yehuda Asad. And he was also brought a similar kind of shayla, a gabbal from the shul, this time I think it was a committee of people from the shul. And they wanted to buy a new becha for the shul, for making kiddush in shul, making havdalah in shul, as was the minhag in many places. And they wanted to purchase this new becha, beautiful silver becha. And they went round the shul to correct, and the gabbah of the committee went to collect money from the people of the shul. And everybody contributed towards this becha. And then the committee decided to write their own names on the becha. The collection of this becha was done by the committee over here to collect money to buy this becha for the shul. So what would we say? What would we say based on the tshuvas that we've seen? Did they contribute themselves more than anybody else? No. They collected money from everybody in the kehillah. But they didn't contribute so much themselves. And yet still, they wrote the names on there, and the Maria Sab said it was okay, it was fine. He passed them that they did have the right to do it. Why? Because they organized it, other people didn't organize it, and therefore they could have the credit for it. So he allowed on this becha to have inscribed the names of the committee, to the exclusion of all the names of everybody else who actually contributed towards it. So he obviously didn't hold like this Emunah Shmuel, or so one of the Swarim says that he didn't see this Emunah Shmuel, the Tshuva Emunah Shmuel, but he clearly held that it was mutter for for a person to, for personal individuals to write their name on something, even though they themselves don't necessarily financially contribute, even though they just organise other people to do it. Okay, so we see there is a bit of machlekes in the Acharonim about it. To a final point which I wanted to bring, which I saw in Igros Moshe from Moshe Feinstein. So somebody asked Moshe Feinstein, the Shaila goes back about 60, 80 years or so, that he had borrowed money from certain people in order that he should be able to publish a sefer. Mechaber Sforim, he didn't have money himself to publish a sefer, and he borrowed money from people to finance the publication of the sefer. And he wanted to ask, he asked Moshe Feinstein, are you allowed to write or have printed in the front of the sefer that he thanked Sloyne so-and-so for lending him money in order to finance this publication of the sefer? Is it a problem of ribbit? Because we know the halacha is, if a person borrows money from somebody, you're not allowed to really say thank you, because that's ribbit devorim. You're giving the person back more, so to speak, than what they actually gave you, and that could be ribbit. So are you allowed to print it? Is the issa of ribbit devorim also in print as well? So Moshe said it is. And therefore, he couldn't print in the sefer, thank you to Pliny for lending me money for printing this sefer. However, said the Moshe, what you can do is state in the sefer, in front of the sefer, that Pliny should be misborech, that he should receive brocha min hashomayim for the money that he lent me for printing the sefer. So what's the difference? Why is that not a thank you? So he said that because you're not thanking him, you're just making a statement of fact that a person who lends money for the publication of a sefer is going to be mitzvah, he's going to get brocha, shefa brocha min hashamayim, and that's a fact. You're not giving him something, that is a fact. The person has done a mitzvah, and that's what he will get. And you're allowed to write that in the sefer itself. That's what Moshe said, and that's not called ribbis devorim. So although there would be a problem, possibly, of ribbis devorim in print as well as spoken, but if you write it in the correct way, that's not giving the person a thank you, but just a statement of fact that he's mitzvah min hashamayim, that's also okay. But says Rav Moshe, what are you doing there? You are being mefarsim the person's mitzvah. So that's the reason why you're allowed to do it, because you'll be mefarsim that person did a mitzvah in giving money for the printing of the sefer. Says Rav Moshe, but only if they don't object. Only if they don't object. You have to get their permission. Because if they object, you're not allowed to do it. So we see an important condition to this halacha over here. So although, firstly, comes out from what we've seen, it is mutter to be mufarsim a person who does a mitzvah, he can demand that. If he is yogeya, and he's toreh, and he puts himself in it, and he contributes himself into it, definitely. And according to some, even if he just organizes other people for doing a mitzvah itself, coordinating the mitzvah that other people are going to do. However, there is this important thing that it shouldn't be done against their will. If a person wants to take that back seat, or he wants to conceal his things because of our novel, or whatever it is, then a person should have that right. And therefore, if you know someone who's done a mitzvah, a contribution towards a kehillah or something like that, you can't just go ahead and be mufalsim it just like that. Maybe he doesn't want it. So you have to get the person's permission. So that's what comes out from the different makoyos that we've seen. It's interesting that there aren't earlier makoyos or makoyos in the Gemara, in the Poskim itself, but it's based mainly on Medrash. However, we do find this Medrash coming through into a halachic tshuva of the Rashba, into the Ramah, into the tshuvas of the Rishonim and the Acharonim, even down to the tshuva of the Moshe Feinstein.